doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let us turn to the hymn before the sermon. It is a new one to me, but as I was looking at the different possibilities to sing this morning, I came across this and said, "Oh, that looks just exactly the words and the tune of it, just exactly what I want." So let us sing this before the sermon, "Wait for the Lord." May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the epistle text, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord." The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. James talks about the farmer waiting for the early rains and the late rains. I love it. I love it. Jesus using this illustration. The importance of rain to a farmer, especially an all-day rain. I grew up, as most of you know, on the farm. I understand this talk. To this day, I love rain. To me, there is no better day in all the world than a good old rainy day. And a farmer learns patience. And among other things, he learns to be thankful for the rainy days, for the all day rains. Also thankful for the hot, dry days that happen between the all day rains. I remember lying in my bed upstairs, hot, humid, summer day, listening literally to the corn grow as it cracks and pops all night long. That really happens. It's not just a story. It happens. In Tanzania, the farmer, just like in the Bible, this must be where they got it from, they talk about the early rains and the late rains. The early rains come in March and April, and it's when they plant their maize and get it going. And then comes the long, dry season. And that happens to be the time I was there during July and August and September. And we had an unusually dry summer that year, and they were waiting for the late rains that normally came in October. By summer's end, they wondered if the maize would mature because they were highly dependent upon the corn for their tables. And so they had to learn patience. Patience is a virtue, sometimes difficult to come by, especially when one's food for the table is at stake. But the farmer illustration doesn't fit Petersburg, very well. In Petersburg, the farmers are of a different kind. We farm the ocean. We farm the streams, patiently waiting for the return of the fish. As a sports fisherman, I patiently wait each July and August for the rains to come to fill the slough, to fill the blind rapids, so that it would carry fresh water to the narrows, so that the milling salmon down in the narrows would feel that fresh water and scoot up the stream where I can lay and intercept them. Okay, so this is a deal this morning. Okay? James admonishes us to what? To be patient. But not for the corn harvest. Only using that as an illustration. Nor for the fish harvest, which is the illustration which I've thrown in, but to be patient for the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't know if I need that. My situation is a lot different than James. I'm not eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. I don't get all hyped up by the idea that the Lord's got to come. I'm not impatient about that. So I question if I need any patience in regard to that which James is obviously talking about, his coming again. I'm not against it. He's coming again. Let him come when he chooses. And I'm not saying hurry up and come. I sort of like it the way it is right now. I like what I'm doing. I like it here. Thus, I'm not anxious about how and when Jesus comes again. I'm not eagerly awaiting his coming. I think I'm as patient as anyone can be, as patient as I need to be in regards to his second coming. So what is James talking about? Is there something more to this text than just that? Patience is a great virtue. And in some areas of my life, I may not be. so patient? Perhaps there is an undercurrent in this text challenging us to be patient, not only in the waiting for the Lord, but to be patient in all things. To be patient in a world that is impatient, which I admit may not be the primary thrust of this text. But nonetheless, that's the direction I'm going to take us. During this Advent season, I am suggesting that we learn patience in all the little things in life, that will teach us and help us to be patient in the really, really big things in life, the opening of the door to eternal life, the coming again of our Savior and Lord. And so let us learn patience in some of the little things and apply that patience to the really big things in our lives. Christmas. That's a big thing. And we are admonished to patiently, during the season of Advent, wait. I sat beside her in the airplane. I can't remember where I was going, but I know where she was going. She was on her way to Mexico. She was an illegal immigrant living in Yakima, married, children, working as a housekeeper, a charming, pleasant, young, hard-working, beautiful Mexican woman. She was undocumented. She was an immigrant, like all of us or our ancestors. She was into her third year of going through all the channels which our government was expecting her to go through in order to become a resident, a citizen, like you and I. A myriad of hoops she'd already completed in her quest for citizenry. She'd been working diligently on this process, 3 years, hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, but fulfilling each one as they came and faced her. And now, in the airplane, heading back to Mexico, she was following one more of our government's directives. Go back to Mexico, where you came from, because you've got some more papers to fill up. She was scared. She was scared stiff. Scared if she went, that maybe she wouldn't be able to come back to her husband and to her children. Put yourself in her shoes. She was scared. Scared if she didn't go, that they would send her back because they knew that she was illegal. Patience. I don't think I know what it is to be patient. 3 years? I don't think I know what it is to be patient about some of the littler things. Even though a few minutes ago, you heard me say that I think I am. I kept in touch with her for a couple of years and lost touch. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know the outcome. But I know that I've sure thought about her. I've thought about her over and over and over many times. And many others just like her. Patience. I don't know if I know what it means to be patient. Try to forget now for a few moments that you live in luxury. Try to think for a few moments with me that you don't live in Petersburg, where there is luxurious living. Put yourself in the bombed-out city of Aleppo, Syria. You're a young mother. Your husband has been taken away. You don't know if your husband is alive or if he has been killed. Your home has been totally destroyed. And everything in it. Everything. You have only one thing. And that is your one-year-old child whom you are carrying, who is crying, and who is hungry. But you have no food. You have no place to go, no relatives that you can go to and stay with. You see a lot of people walking, and you decide that's the only choice you have, to join them and to walk away from what was your home. Every step a risk, not knowing even now as you leave the outskirts where you are and not knowing where you're going. Holding your child as you walk, thinking about what you have seen on TV about how it is in some places in this world that there are people living in luxury. People like you and like me. We may not like to hear how impatient we can be with all the little things that always don't click. We may not like to hear how impatient we are when our plans go awry, when things don't fit together the way we think they ought to or the way we have planned. Perhaps the best line in this whole text is a line which I have avoided up to now. Beloved, James says, do not grumble against one another. I can't imagine a Syrian mother stripped of everything except her little crying, hungry child. I can't imagine her having patience, not grumbling against her government that has virtually destroyed her life. I can't imagine what it must be like to be of an ethnic minority in our country. I can't even begin to imagine what that must be like. To be a Sioux in North Dakota, fearful that historic tribal agreements will be overridden by the government. to be an undocumented immigrant. To be like our nephew down in Seattle, who has had to tell his adopted black child, about 10 or 12 years old, that he's got to be careful what he does, that he can't do the things that his white playmates can do. I'm not making this up. Our nephew Matt has had to do that. I can't imagine what it must be like to be the child of a fourth generation welfare family, a family that doesn't know any different, but have lived in poverty for generation after generation and doesn't know how to change it. One can easily understand why there might be some grumbling going on. But those of us who live in luxury have no reason under the sun to grumble one bit about anything in any way, shape, or form, because we have been blessed beyond our understanding. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. The Scripture implores us to be patient, about everything as we await the day of the coming of our Lord. In the meantime, let us be thankful to God for blessing upon blessing upon blessing, patiently waiting. As I thought about this text, perhaps this text comes to us at an opportune time for us as a congregation, reminding us to be patient in what seems like a slow process in the calling of our new pastor. Reminding us to be patient, to be prayerfully, methodically patient as we wait for all of that to happen. Perhaps this text in a special way speaks to some individuals within this congregation who are hoping that the new pastor will meet specifically their specific need. And that's a legitimate concern. Perhaps this text in a special way speaks to me as an interim pastor, reminding me to be patient when things I want to happen, don't, as I serve this congregation. Let's all of us be like the farmer and the fisherman, waiting patiently for the early rains and the late rains till that fill our hearts and our lives, that matures the corn crop that fills our lives with God's grace. Greg Brown, a not too well-known Iowan folk song singer and composer, was driving from southern Iowa, where he lives, across the state to Minneapolis to a recording studio with his crew to do some recording that they had planned to do. 300 miles, and it rained, as only it can rain in the Midwest. Pounding rain, 300 miles of it. All day rain. When they got to Minneapolis, he jumped out of his car, went to his crew in the other cars, and said, "Hurry up, Get your instruments. Get into the recording studio. I've got a new song that's been running through my head as we've been driving. We've got to record it right now before I lose it. And they recorded All Day Rain. That pretty much describes us Lutherans. We are products, not of a dry season. We are products of an all-day rain. God's blessings have been raining down upon us over and over and over and over again. I hope this text from the book of James will help us learn to be patient in the little things, helping us to be patiently awaiting the really big things, the day that our Lord comes to call us to open the door to his eternal kingdom, where we will live forever and forever with our God and Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. James said, you and I, like the farmer and like the fisherman, must be patient. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that one day your Son Jesus is coming back. We know that is going to happen. And we await that day. But until that happens, let us be patient with each other. Let us be patient in all things, waiting, hoping, and praying that when he comes, that we will be ready for his coming. That we will have kept our lamps lit, and that we, from our hearts, will have confessed that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wait for the Lord. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.